in our call to worship today, I want to draw your attention to just one verse of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 13, which reads, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ." One of the most powerful verses of Scripture, I think, in the book of Ephesians, speaking to the fact that those who were dead in trespasses and sin, those who had walked, as it says here, the course of this world, can be brought nigh through what? The blood of Jesus Christ. This past week, I received a letter from a man serving a sentence in federal prison, and this is what he had to share. "We enjoy the projector a great deal here when we can get it. A friend on the outside forwards it to me now and then. I agree wholeheartedly with your assessment of today's churches and professing Christians. When I leave here, I hope to travel speaking the truth to those on the front pew who have sold out to government as their God, so full of legalism, modern-day Pharisees who keep the law, but know not mercy and justice. I had to leave that world and come here to hear the truth." Isn't that an interesting statement? "I once walked among the mighty of this temporal world, but all was vanity. God allows me to tend to the forgotten and to the wounded here in prison. He can use even a sinner like me, the chief sinner, as Paul wrote. I will use some of your information in my next sermon in our little chapel." God bless you. That statement that he makes, though, "I had to leave that world and come here to hear the truth." You know, folks, you have the privilege right now to hear the truth. You don't have to go to prison to hear the truth of God's Word. But here's a man who walked with the mighty. I don't know what that means. But here's a man who came to know the truth in prison. He came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But whether you're there or whether you're here, if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're just as lost no matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you're at. You could be sitting in a fancy church building and be lost, or you can be in the gutter vomiting from a night of dissipation. It doesn't matter. If you're without the blood of Christ, then you are without hope this morning. Isn't it wonderful to know that those who are far off can be brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ? That's His love. It took the sacrifice. It took God pouring out His judgment on His Son. He poured out His wrath upon sin because Jesus Christ was bearing that sin in His body on the tree. And so this morning, if you're here and you're afar off, you can be brought nigh, the Bible says, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we trust and pray this morning that you'll come to Him. We don't want you to come to church. We don't want you to come to an altar. We want you to come to Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of sinners. And if you're struggling with sin this morning, you can lay down that struggle. Amen? That struggle can be done away. Jesus Christ has paid the sin debt. All you need to do is be brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ.
In our service this morning, we're glad that you're here. We want to begin by taking our hymn books and turning to 677, number 677. We want to sing, "I Love the Name of Jesus," number 677. Let's stand together to sing.
Jesus Christ, the Lord, He is our King, our Heaven, and Jesus Christ, the Lord, I love the name of Jesus.
So remain standing this morning for prayer.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day in which we can gather together and sing these praises of worship to your holy and matchless name. We thank you for the opportunity that we have today to have with us Dr. Peter Pignol, and we're so thankful for his ministry there in Europe, how you've raised him up at this time to reach out to those in the population that is in his country that and around the world that need the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We thank you for his burden, for his desire to go. We thank you, dear Father, for how you undertook for the team who went from Pensacola Christian College over to Europe and how you kept them safe there in Spain and France and bringing them safely back to us, and for the ministry of Dr. Collars Alvarez. We pray, dear Father, that you would continue to bring forth fruit from their mission work there this summer. And Lord, we do pray that you would undertake for those who minister the gospel around the world. We have so many missionary friends that are serving, many of them in very difficult places, from Africa to the Philippines to China to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, we would bring them before thy throne today, seeking for your special watch care and blessing and provision for them, that they might know your presence as they communicate your word. And we pray that souls would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, dear Father, we thank you for the opportunities that we have here in Milton to minister, from the Children's Bible Club to the Youth Athletic Club to the Learning Center and the school and all the different outreaches that we have. We pray, dear Father, that we would be faithful in witnessing of Christ and his saving work in hearts and lives. We thank you for the outreach that we have beyond just the limits of this property. And we pray, dear Father, that you might use the outreaches to win souls for thee. We thank, dear Father, of our country, and we rejoice this morning in some of the decisions that were made by the Supreme Court this week. And we thank you for the preservation of religious freedom to be able to practice our faith in the workplace. And we just pray, Father, that we might understand that this does not mean that we're on the road to recovery as a nation. It's just the upholding of our Constitution. And we pray for our leaders. Our hearts are grieved by the response that we have seen of those that want to curtail and stop religious freedom. But we would ask, dear Father, for your power to be manifested and that we would have continued liberty to proclaim your word and to raise our children according to our conscience and the word of God and to be able to be a witness in the workplace. We ask, dear Father, that you would just undertake for us in that regard. But we are thankful today, dear Father, for what you've done for us through these decisions that have come down. We also pray, Father, for our president and for our vice president and for those in leadership over us. They need thee. They need to be delivered and brought into the kingdom of Christ. And we ask, dear Father, that you might work in their hearts, that they might see Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners. And we think about our legislators on the federal, the state, the local level. We just ask, Father, that you'd work in their hearts. We've had opportunity to even speak to some concerning their soul. And we pray, Father, that we might see them come to faith in Jesus Christ. We ask now your blessing upon this service today. We pray that you would be with those of our church family that are on the road right now, that you would watch over and protect them. We pray that you might anoint Dr. Pignol to communicate your word to our hearts. And we pray, Father, that we might be knit together around your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and we'll turn now to 681 as we think of our July 4th, the holiday coming up this week. Number 681, O Beautiful for Spacious Skies, just verses 1 and 3, verses 1 and 3, 681.
Oh,
Turn to 649, number 649. We'll sing Redeemed, the first and last verses, number 649. By God for my iniquity, he satisfied the Father's holy wrath and drank the bitter cup in my behalf. Constrained by Christ's atoning sacrifice, without reserve I offer him my life. Redeeming love compels me to proclaim the all-surpassing glory of his name. Resplendent in his royal majesty, my king still wears the scars of Calvary. His death wounds show the depth of selfless love, imploring me to live for things above. Constrained by Christ's atoning sacrifice, without reserve I offer him my life. Redeeming love compels me to proclaim the all-surpassing glory of his name. For him I count my life no longer mine. In his great work a higher call I find. To lose myself and find my all in Christ, I follow on and gladly pay the price. Constrained by Christ's atoning sacrifice, without reserve I offer him my life. Redeeming love compels me to proclaim the all-surpassing glory of his name. Redeeming love compels me to proclaim the
surpassing glory of His name.
God's people said, amen. Appreciate that. Well, Dr. Peter Pinyol traveled all the way from Spain to be with us, and we're thankful for that. Actually, he's coming back to get Dr. Watt back for how Dr. Watt was treating him over in Spain. I don't know the background behind that, but we'll find out at lunch today. Does that sound all right? So, Brother Pinyol, would you come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much. Good morning. Again, I want to say that it's a joy for me to be here this morning in this very special time of the year, the 4th of July. I was thinking how much I love this country. As you know, I was not born here. I was born in the old country of Europe. But I love this place. And I love it because what God has done through the years. Not because the American dream, you know, coming to America and make yourself rich. The blessedness of this country is God's people. And I am really praying for this country. As Pastor was sharing, the situation sometimes is heartbreaking. We are living in perilous times. The Lord is coming soon. So don't be afraid. Hold the lines, because He's coming soon. And rejoice in Him. I wanted also to say, as I was listening the song that Pastor Adam was singing, what a Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior. Our Lord, our Christ, is the reason that we are here this morning. And really, I want to express to Him my gratitude and my joy. Our lives is not ours. He purchased our life with His blood. We belong to Him. So today, I want to honor Him as I will be talking about His Word. And I pray that it would be a blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we open Your Word, I know perfectly, Father, that I am just a servant, the postman, the one that has been sent with a message. But the message is Yours. And Father, I know my own feebleness, my own need. So, Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will talk to our hearts in whatever need we have. And that we will be able to open our eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ and to love Him with all our hearts. And Father, that our lives will be honored and glorify You. Help us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles again in the book of Acts. I will be talking about missions this morning in Paul's way. How are we supposed to serve the Lord of Lords and King of Kings? How did Paul did it? We are going to see through this word the challenge and the need of our own souls. Let's read in chapter 20 of the book of Acts. I will be reading from verse 18. Acts 20, verse 18. Verse 18, it says like this, and then, when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither can I hold my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to the great court this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. May the Lord bless his word in our hearts. Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus. He's saying goodbye. It's a sad moment. It's an important moment. He is really sharing his heart with the church, his understanding and his vision of what is he going to do, but also his concern about the church. Now he explains everything that is in his heart and is willing to make it clear that what he does and what he is because the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How important is this as we begin to talk this morning about missions in our hearts serving the Lord, that everything that we are is because God's grace. It's nothing of ourselves. It's nothing that we are. It's him and him alone. And I hope that I made this clear this morning as I was sharing in Sunday school our vision, our burden, our desire to do things, that we really need to do it in a way that the Lord will be pleased. I studied the way that Paul served the Lord, establishing churches back in Europe. They are in Asia Minor, around Greece and other places, and even Spain, because I truly believe that he was there. Romans 16 mentioned two times the country of Spain. Is that wonderful? Really, it's marvelous. And then the word Finisterre, the end of the earth, was Spain. Now, if you have not been in that promised land, I challenge you, you better come. Good food, right, Pastor? Brother Love? Yeah, you like that? Spain was very important for him, but he was not going by himself. One of the first things that I want to say when I see how Paul was serving the Lord is he was doing it with a team, with churches praying for him, with churches supporting him, but then with a group of men that was challenging him and supporting him. Timothy, the beloved Timothy, he was just a young kid. Some theologians believe that he was 45 years old. That's young, right? And he was there with Timothy and Paul and then Tryphosa and Tryphena, other two ladies that were serving the Lord with him. And then also Priscilla, everyone, men and women, ready to serve the Lord. What a joy to have a team that is willing and ready to do that. But then something important, and I want to talk about how serving the Lord is a matter of the heart. Of the heart. That is the first thing that needs to be clear. Serving the Lord is a matter of attitude. Why? Well, let's read again verse 19. Serving the Lord, look at these three words. With humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. Serving the Lord is a matter of attitude, of humility. With many tears, with many temptations. The word there means difficulties. It's not easy to serve the Lord. It's not easy. You have to pay a price. You have to be willing and ready to do it. But you have to do it with humility. God does not use proud people. Pride is the sin of the devil. God wants to break us. And I want to say this, any pastor that I met that really is being used by the Lord is a man with a broken heart. Paul said with many tears, and yes, my beloved, when we serve the Lord, we cry. We weep. Because we see the situation. How can you not cry when you see hundreds of people dying without hope, without Christ, going to hell because they have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? How are you not going to cry when you visit the Western Wall there in Jerusalem and you see all of these Jews moving and praying to God in that wall, talking to a stone instead of talking to the Lord? And you weep, you cry, because you see the need of that people. And you weep and you cry when you see broken families and homes in this time that we are living. And you cry when you see young people going asunder, departing from God, and you cry. And I may be even more sincere with you, and Pastor, you will understand this. You cry when people talk evil against you, and talk against you, and try to destroy what you are doing, and you are doing it because the Lord, He calls you to do it. You know it's God's will, but you are criticized, you are attacked, and you cry, and you cry. Yeah, temptations, difficulties, needs. But I tell you, Paul knew in whom he has believed. He was secure and sure that God was holding him, and for that reason, he was ready to do sacrifice, to be an example, to be teaching. That's a matter of aptitude. In verse 20, Paul says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have told you publicly and from house to house." What a joy. What a joy. He was not holding anything back for himself. I said before, in the time before, about Livingstone going to Africa saying, "I have not made any sacrifice. It has been my privilege." Jonathan Edwards was the same way. Hudson Taylor, my favorite missionary. I love his biography. He went there to China, ready to do God's will, even though he didn't have any mission board behind him. He didn't have a board. He just was going there and was ready to serve the Lord. And the Lord was with him. There is no sacrifice that you do for the Lord that He does not take note of it. And sometimes we believe that, oh, it's so difficult and sacrificing. No, it's not. It's a joy. It's a privilege. How God helps you and leads you to be able to teach and to be an example. And that is important, because the only Bible that many people are going to read is your life. What they see in you, that's the Bible they're going to see and to read. And the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. So important for us to show Him and not us. This is not a matter of us, what we do, what we are. No. It's a matter of Him. We are like a Paul sign saying, "Look to Him, look to Christ, and be saved." And Paul had that in his heart. Serving the Lord is a matter of outreach. Yes, Paul said, both to Jews and to Greeks. And that is so interesting, because when we study the book of Acts, Paul went to every synagogue there, every Shabbat, every Saturday, he went to the synagogues, and through the Old Testament, he was showing the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel. So how important is that we will know our Old Testament, right? Every page of the Old Testament is showing the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul knew that. So he went and shared with the Jewish people the need of accepting Christ. If you see the testimony of some of these Jews that accept Christ, I will say it in Hebrew, it sounds really nice when they say, Yeshua HaMashiach. And when they accept that Yeshua ben David, Jesus Christ, son of David, was the Messiah, when they accept that, oh, what a joy. You see their faces, their life changes. Because finally they have found the Messiah of Israel. And for that reason, Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, 16, he says, to the Jews first and also to the Greek, both of them need to hear the gospel. So this is our challenge, to bring the gospel. It's a matter of heart. What do you have in your heart? What is the main love and what it moves you? Because what moves your life is what you love and what you desire. What you are willing to sacrifice talks much about you and your priorities in life. Paul had a heart that wanted to serve the Lord. And also a life, in second place, is a life that wanted to serve the Lord. Verse 24, I have already read it. That's important. Now, I remember Adam when he fell in love. Let me talk about that. Oh, yesterday we have a wedding, didn't we? And really, I thought the firecrackers, he paid for them. It was like, oh man, this is amazing. I was enjoying myself like a kid yesterday in that wedding. Really, I had to hold myself and say, Peter, behave, you're a pastor. Yes, you know. But I was having so much fun there. And I noticed, did you notice how they looked to each other? Your son? What were you thinking, Adam? I remember my son when he got married, I was looking at him and saying, boy, what's wrong with you? He was like that, I promise. Okay. Now, we are the bride of Christ, aren't we? Could you imagine his look toward us? How he loved us. We are in white garments, ready for that time where he will come for his bride. He will take us to heaven. Do you realize how much God loves you? Do you realize how much Christ paid to rescue you from sin? Do you see his love, his goodness, his mercy? How good is the Lord? He's wonderful. Don't you see him in the small things in your life? You're going to laugh at this one. The other Saturday, I had my lunch. I had a good breakfast in McDonald's, good place. I bought a box of cereal, okay? And I said, Lord, I'm going to save money. I need to save money. So here, I bought Cheerios. They're good. And then milk, that was my lunch. And I was thinking, what are you going to do for supper? And I said, I don't know, because I am putting too much weight. So careful. But I pray, say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I was praying that, I'm not kidding. Adam calls me, hey, Peter, we have something here in the church for dinner. Would you like to come? And I say, yes. And I was thinking, how good is the Lord? In a small thing, okay, maybe that's something very simple, but you can make these bigger things. How good is the Lord? In the way he provides, he supplies, he takes care of you. And we could be gone. Listen, I think you know I had a cancer 7 years ago, right? A colon cancer. I didn't know if I was going to die or I was going to live. I didn't know at that time. It was a week that the doctor were checking my results and everything. That week I was so close to the Lord. I was ready to go. I was willing to go. He gave me more years, 7 more years by now. But that experience put things in the right perspective, in the right place. And I tell you, I love the Lord. I am a sinner. I am better than anybody. But I love the Lord. And that put my life again in a place where I say, Lord, it doesn't matter. What it moves me is you. I don't count my life as something precious to me. Only I want to finish and finish faithfully. And that is what I want to do. And that was the heart of Paul as he was serving the Lord. Lord, I want to do it right. I want to do this in a way that will honor you. And let me tell you, ain't no easy. Why? Again, let's go back to religion. Religion will tell you things, how to do things. And if you don't do it in that way, it doesn't matter. And if you don't do it like that, oh, they are going to shoot you. All right? If you do God's will, you are going to suffer. Be ready for this one. I'm trying to encourage you, okay? But I will tell you the truth. I have heard, oh, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything will be fine. Sorry for my accent. You will be a happy person. You will be really happy. Baloney. You believe in Christ and the problems begin. All right? Good for you. Satan was not happy. If you serve the Lord, it's not going to be easy. Serving the Lord is not easy, but it's worth it. And Paul had that heart. Paul knew his responsibility. In verse 25, he says that he has been preaching among all of them, preaching the gospel. The way of doing it, sharing the gospel, It's nothing new. The gospel is not new. It's the old gospel, the old story of Calvary. Now, I know we have a microphone, we have a computer here before. I have, you know, a camera. I am on Facebook. Hello, Facebook. I am all of that. The Apostle Paul didn't have nothing of those things. Good. He changed the world. He visited many places in Europe. He was willing to get in a boat and go to Greece and to Rome. The government paid for him to go to Rome. Remember the story? Yeah, even, you know, free meals. He was fine. The Lord was taking care of him. What was the thing that we have today? So many things. I was telling you about our platform. Okay, we have a platform. It's a Bible Institute. 300 students there. They on the platform. We have this YouTube channel. Okay, 70 countries that Dr. Tomasini has arrived with her thing, her podcast. All of these things. And we're doing nothing. It's just so small what we're doing. So what is the key? All these gadgets? No. Here. Here is the key. Your heart. Your relationship with God. And that is what Paul was saying about how he was preaching, testifying, preaching day and night, declaring unto you. And look, something that is so beautiful. In verse 28, don't miss this one. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock of over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. And listen to that one. To feed the church of God, which he, God, hath purchased with what? His own blood. Anybody has a doubt that Christ is God? Because he is saying that God shed his blood to save his church. Do you notice that? Jehovah's Witnesses are really bad. They're wrong. Christ is our God. Not only our Savior, he's our God. He is the God Almighty. He is the one that said, be the light, and the light was. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is our Savior. Do you realize that? Do you see who is near you and besides you in this world? He's your God. He's your Lord. He's the one that bought you with his blood. And this has to give us the strength to say, okay, Lord, it doesn't matter what will happen. I know who is in control of my life. And this is a place of suffering. In one popular book like Shakespeare, there is a sentence that says, in haec hoc lacrimorum vale. That's Latin, okay? The translation, in this valley, tears. Because this is a valley of tears, of suffering. And you have not been around long, you will discover it. Sooner or later, problems will come. Challenges will come. In the ministry, challenge will come. It will break your heart. I know what Pastor Todd has wept and cried. I know that. And I know Brother Watt, Pastor Watt also. And I know Dr. Carlos Alvarez. All of those that serve the Lord, you have a broken heart. But remember that serving the Lord is a matter of responsibility. One day we are going to be in front of him. He's going to challenge us and going to ask, okay, son, what did you do? And yeah, we will have to give an account to him. Paul was giving an account here. The first thing that he was saying, take heed of yourself. The word there, the word take heed in that verse that I read, is the same word that in 1 Timothy, when Paul tells Timothy, take heed of what? Of yourself. And what else? The doctrine. Take heed. We have to take heed of ourselves. We are living in perilous times. I hope there will be no persecution. But it could happen to any of us. When we talk against this mess that is going on in society, when a man does not know if he's a man and a girl doesn't know if he's a girl, they say that some of them, they are a cat. And stupidity is like, duh. Yeah? But we could be in trouble. We could be in difficulties because we are saying the truth. You know? And if they die, and maybe an archaeologist come around in 100 years and find a lot of bones there, they will say, this is a boy and that's a girl. Right? Not clear. But we have to be careful not to offend. Let me say something. Paul was preaching, and he knew that the gospel of Christ will affect lives and people. And people are going to get mad. Yeah? People don't like to be called sinners. But that is what we are. And thank the Lord, He is our Savior. Yeah, serving the Lord is a matter of watchfulness. And that is the time we're living in. Verse 29, it says, watch. Look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. So we have to watch. Watch for wolves, for false brothers, for false teachers. Watch. Watch and remember. Verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Watch and remember. We could not have a Bible Institute planting churches, reaching the Jews, without your prayers, without tears, without remembering what God did. And we are so easily, we forget so easily what God has done for us. Don't we? We sing a hymn, God, our age in ages past, our hope for years to come. But we forget He was our help ages past. Some of the elderly people, I don't say old people, we're not old, we're vintage. Okay? That's a better word, yes. Well, you know your life. You know your life. Some of the folks that came back from World War II, right? God was faithful to you. Remember that always. And He will continue being faithful to you in any situation. I will go my way after today preaching here. God will still be with you. Your mama, your papa could go away. One day, your wife can leave you. Oh, yeah. Your husband can leave you. Your children can leave you. God will never leave you. He is faithful. So serving the Lord is that important. Remember. It's a matter also of commendation. And that's the end of Paul, almost at the end of his message. We commend you to the Lord. It's Him and Him alone. What we do is for Him. What we are is because Him. What we have, He gave it to us. But are we thankful? Are we thankful? Do we appreciate what God has done to us in our lives? Are we willing to go and to give? Yeah, I will talk about that because here in verse 23, I think. Let me put my glasses now, we'll see it better. Okay, 33. I have covered no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul was willing to give. Now, missionaries, always we talk about giving, don't we? You have many visitor missionaries, right? You know how, well, we need prayer, yes. But we need money, yes. We are like that. Money is a good servant, but it's a bad Lord. If money controls you, will destroy you. But I want to change the topic and to have a sentence that I read in a T-shirt. T-shirts have really funny messages sometimes. And this was a T-shirt from Marine Corps. I love the Marines, okay? I was a Green Beret back in Spain when I was young. All right? I love that. And the sentence in that t-shirt say, all give some, all give some, but some gave it all. And I thought, wow, what a sentence. What a sentence. The Lord is faithful. I was telling you before, you know, we have a burden, we have a project, we have a vision. Yes, we need money. Yes, we need this, we need that, we need whatever, blah, 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 all of that. But there is a greater need of all of those physical things. I need to give my life to the Lord and surrender fully to Him. He will say, oh, Peter, but you are a missionary, aren't you? You already consecrated to the Lord. Yeah, I did that several years ago. I did it this morning also. The manna in the Bible could not be eaten from one day to the other. My relationship with the Lord is every single day. I am in a great danger of knowing how to do things and not knowing my Lord. Do I express myself well? And that is a danger. Because we are so used to religion, to know how to do things, that we lost track of the center of our life, that is Christ and Christ alone. He came to this world to die for you. Because you, I, we are sinners. Because we don't love the Lord. We don't love God. And we have to repent of that. And if you are here today and you are singing along and you are, yes, enjoying, you know, church, let me tell you something, that is nothing. You have to enjoy Christ. And when you enjoy Him, your life will change. It will be completely different. Because He will be the center of your heart. You will have given your whole life to Him that gave His life for you at Calvary. I'm going back to Spain. There is a mission there, an objective, a project. But one day we'll be in heaven. The time will be over, and we'll be rejoicing with the Lord for all eternity. But while that day is not arriving, I want to do it well. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God to the Jew and to the Gentile. Please pray for us in Spain. Pray for our team. Pray for all of those that are serving together our God. We will be praying for you. Be faithful unto Him. May God bless you. Thank you. Pastor?
What a blessing the Word of God has been to our hearts this morning. And that verse 32 of Acts chapter 20, where He says, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Those two things that He commended the folks that were reading that letter, and to understand that every one of us in this room today and those that listen, we have been given a gift, the word of His grace. And we need to respond to that word. We need to not just let that be words in the Bible, but we need to respond to what He's saying there. I'm commending you to God, and I'm commending you to the word of His grace. It's all of grace, the goodness of God. We want to close by singing number 345 in our hymn book, 345. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? That is the prayer of our hearts. That was the prayer of the Apostle Paul. That's the prayer of Dr. Peter Pignol, that you would receive the grace of Christ. Would you stand together as we sing on that last stanza, number 345. Father in heaven, your servant has delivered your truth to us today. And Lord, I pray that we might respond to that truth. Help us not to just walk out and let it be just another day, but rather that your word would linger in our hearts and minds, that the connection will be made between the mind and the heart, and that there might be this receiving of the grace of God and all that that means. A transforming of thinking, a transforming of life, the receiving of the gift of eternal life. Lord, that's all part of your grace. And it's intended to make transformative changes in our hearts and life. And I pray that that would indeed take place. That was the prayer of the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago. And I know it's the desire of many here today, and I pray that it would be a reality, that it would move from desire to reality. Father, I pray that you'd work in all of our hearts, and we pray, dear Lord, that we might be faithful servants for Thee. There's a dying world all around us, people without the Lord Jesus, and we have the truth. May we share it in these days ahead. And we'll give you the praise and glory. We thank you for bringing Dr. Pignol to us. We thank you for his ministry. We pray that you would continue to bless it and use it as it reaches beyond the borders of Spain, to Israel, to South America, around the world. We pray that precious souls would be saved and that servants would be trained to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to that region of the world. We ask now your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.